Our sermon today is based on a reading from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 19, verses 29 through 40. When Jesus had come near Bethage and Bethany, at the place called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of the disciples, saying, "Go to the village ahead of you, and as you enter it, you will find tied there a colt that has never been ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you untying it?' just say this, 'The Lord needs it.' So those who were sent departed and found it as he had told them. As they were untying the colt, its owners asked them, 'Why are you untying the colt?' They said, 'The Lord needs it.' Then they brought it to Jesus, and after throwing their cloaks on the colt, they set Jesus on it. As he rode along, people kept spreading their cloaks on the road. As he was now approaching the path down from the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of disciples began to praise God joyfully with a loud voice for all the deeds of power they had seen, saying, 'Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest heaven.' Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to him, 'Teacher, order your disciples to stop.' He answered, 'I tell you, if these were silent, the stones would shout out.'" Thank you, God, for all our days of celebration and song. What a joyful day that was. How exciting it must have been to witness it, to be right there. Who doesn't love a parade? Who doesn't love to stand on the curbside shouting and cheering and waving to the procession as it goes by? And at some parades, like the 4th of July parade or the Festival of Lights parade, participants throw candy to the crowds, and that makes it even better. This was, of course, a very special parade. Here came Jesus of Nazareth, the King, coming in the name of the Lord, the gentle healer, the wise teacher, finally getting his due. The disciples were so excited they couldn't help themselves. At last, Jesus was about to make a stand. At last, Jesus was going to claim his kingdom and snatch it from the hands of the usurping Romans. The Jewish people were going to get their props. At last, they were going to be on top instead of always at the bottom. So the disciples began to shout and wave and cavort in their giddy gladness. It was like a Roman triumph when the conquering general came into the city to the adoring accolades of the crowd. But this was a triumph especially for them, people who were often on the conquering end of things, not the victorious end. They must have remembered the verses from Zephaniah that presumably predicted this moment. "Rejoice greatly, O daughters of Jerusalem. Shout for joy, for thy king cometh unto thee. But he is lowly. He is sitting on a colt, the foal of a donkey." Perhaps in the past they had read these verses and wondered what they could possibly mean. Who was this king? Why was he riding on a donkey? But now they knew who it was. Now those words had special meaning. They were coming true right before their very eyes. The people began to rejoice and shout and wave their palm fronds because at last they were the winners. They were the victors. Finally, it was time to celebrate. Let's have a parade. Who doesn't love a parade? Who doesn't love parades? I'll tell you who doesn't love parades. Pharisees. Pharisees hated parades, especially parades that didn't focus on or celebrate them. The Pharisees absolutely hated it when Jesus drew the people's attention away from them. They absolutely hated it when Jesus contradicted their teachings, telling people such nonsense as love your neighbor as yourself, and teaching them to give to the poor and to focus more fully on finding God for themselves, not relying on the Pharisees to tell them what was wrong and what was right. For a while, the Pharisees had been able to squelch that public impulse to follow Jesus and learn from him. But today, the whole world was following him, turning their backs on the Pharisees to follow this upstart. Jealousy is certainly an apt emotion to assess to the Pharisees. The Pharisees looked on with frowns as the disciples and everyone else, it seemed, flocked around Jesus riding on the little donkey, putting their cloaks on the road for the donkey to walk on, waving palm branches, symbols of peace, as they strode beside him. This was not a good day for the Pharisees. Everything was going wrong. If this nonsense kept up, soon they wouldn't have any followers. Soon they would all be going after Jesus, stripping the Pharisees of their much-loved power. We could also say the Pharisees had some fear about the festivities, and that's why they wanted to stop them. They were afraid of the Romans. If the Romans got wind of this particular parade, they would no doubt burst right into the midst of it all and put a quick halt to it. The Romans wouldn't countenance anyone other than their generals or their gods being celebrated and lauded so loudly and publicly. They would come in and sweep everyone away with a show of force that would make the palms perish, crush all the cloaks, and do end the donkey. The Pharisees had a mindset of lay low, don't make a scene, don't draw attention to yourselves, and maybe they will leave us alone. As legitimate as that concern was, I think their jealousy was even more compelling. How dare Jesus come parading into town like this? How dare he make people think he was fulfilling scripture? How dare he turn the people away from the Pharisees and make them follow him? The Pharisees didn't have a mindset that said, if you can't beat them, join them. No, the Pharisees had to put an end to all this nonsense right now before things got out of control. Not out of fear of the Romans, but out of fear of losing their stranglehold on the people. So they asked. No, they ordered Jesus to tell his followers to cut it out. Up to that point, Jesus had been quiet, just watching the people, perhaps smiling slightly at their frenzied show of emotion. Although he often told people he healed not to say anything and often rejected any attempts to crown him or praise him, this time Jesus let it happen. This time he didn't tell the people to stop shouting his praises and singing Hosanna. Jesus knew they needed this release, this chance to feel as though they mattered, as though they had won. They had something to look forward to now. They had a reason to keep going. Jesus wasn't going to take that away from them. When the Pharisees scolded him, Jesus spoke at last. I tell you, if these people were silent, the stones would shout out, he declared. Now, wouldn't that be something? Stones shouting, inanimate objects offering praise to the Messiah. The news is so good, even the stones want to shout it out. Yes, stones, but not Pharisees. They were rock-headed and stone-hearted. They refused to join in the celebration. Well, that was their loss. They didn't want to accept or acknowledge Jesus. Their stony hearts just wouldn't let them succumb. Psalm 118 says, the stone that the builders refused is become the headstone of the corner. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. The Pharisees were the builders, trying to build up their egos in their own little ruling realm. They refused to build upon Jesus' foundation. Why did the builders refuse that stone? Because it didn't fit in with their plans. It didn't fit in with what they were building. They were building a wall of exclusion, and the kingdom Jesus proclaimed was and is a kingdom of inclusion. They were building a storehouse of praise for their egos, and Jesus was building a kingdom that was full of praise for God alone. And just as the psalmist envisioned, Jesus became the cornerstone upon which all our fortunes and all our blessings are built. The parade passed by the Pharisees because they were too stubborn, too stony to realize the marvelous blessing that was coming into the world right before their very eyes. And so they stumbled over the stones of their indifference and cynicism instead of leaning on the rock that would build them up on an eternal foundation. Jesus calls us to be those living stones that shout out his name and praise him. Yes, like Jesus, we may have been rejected for the building, yet God deems us precious, calls us God's people, and provides us a place. Let us be the stones that shout out loud all the wonderful things God has done for us. Let us be the stones that shout out loud the good news that the one who comes in the name of the Lord has arrived at last, bringing with him not just peace in heaven, but peace in our hearts as well. For as God promised in Ezekiel, a new heart I will give you, and a new spirit I will put within you, and I will remove from your body the heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. So God has done. And that is certainly something to shout about. Let us pray. God, open our hearts and our mouths to shout the good news about the Christ you have sent us. Use us, O God, as stones that build up Christ's kingdom. We thank you and praise you this day for sending Jesus to us lowly and riding on a donkey to be the King and the Lord of our lives. Amen.
Hosanna, Hosanna to the King. Hosanna, Hosanna, ring through the crowded streets. Thousands came to see him, to cheer as he rode by. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna was their cry. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna to the King.